I'm Deanne Penn at the United Nations. It's not often that experienced aid workers concede that they've been deeply affected on a personal level by a humanitarian crisis. But that's the case on Friday for UN Children's Fund spokesperson Christophe Bouliérac, who's been speaking about the desperate situation in the Democratic Republic of the Congo's, or the DRC's, Kasai region. Some 400,000 children are at risk of death from food shortages in the formerly peaceful area after fighting erupted between tribal militia and government forces in 2016, UNICEF's Bouliérac told Daniel Johnson.
I was there a few years ago. I mean, Kasai, it was totally kind of normal region. Even journalists would call it a boring region where nothing much was happening. And today, I was there in March, and what I saw in Kasai really shocked me at a personal level.
So what did you see?
Well, I went to several hospitals where children suffering from severe acute malnutrition with complications were admitted and were treating. They were struggling for survival. And then I came back to the same hospital 3 days later, and in the meantime, you know, a few children had died and new mothers had arrived with their children suffering from severe acute malnutrition. The situation there is absolutely scary in the sense that people had to flee in the bush, the family, children, they had to stay a few months because of the violence. They had no proper food. They had no proper water to drink. And now that the violence has decreased, they come back. And our point, as we often say, you know, we often say that children are at risk of dying. No, that's not what we are saying on Kasai. We say that children are dying. I saw that. And today, in a region that was normal a few years ago, today, half of children less than 5 years are suffering from acute malnutrition, and we have 400,000 children suffering from severe acute malnutrition, which means they can die at any time.
It's frightening, given that you say you worked there, well, many years ago, and you've just come back there. But the violence actually doesn't date back that far, that local militia started clashing with government forces. And you're saying that in that time, we've just seen a total breakdown in communities, looting of schools, and we've got 400,000 children who are at risk of death. Children are dying, as you say. You must be shocked on a personal level as well.
Yes, and you see that people in this region are not used to cope with crisis. They don't have any coping mechanism. When you speak to doctors, when you speak to the nurses, the people that I call heroes, I don't like this word hero, but these people are saving lives, and I've seen that in their hospitals, in their health area, and doctors make a few hundred dollars per month. A nurse makes less than $100 per month. They just save lives, and they tell you that they have never seen that. So what we are talking about here is about a crisis that impacted terribly, very brutally children. And now we have the consequences of these violences. We have malnutrition. We have psychosocial damages. We have school which is disrupted. This is time to act because it's strategically right to act now. It is smart.
And you have access.
And we have access. What we are now at a time where people come back. They spent months in the bush, they now come back to their communities, and we see that most of the children that come back from the bush come back with a very bad health and with lots of malnutrition problems. Let me just give you a story. I was, by the way, with a journalist in a health center in the countryside, and there were 300 mothers coming from the rural areas with their children because they knew that their children were not well, and they were coming for diagnosis and treatment for malnutrition. We just looked at the nurse just taking care of diagnosing, assessing the nutrition status of the 10 first children randomly. 8 out of 10 children, 8 were diagnosed with severe acute malnutrition. Severe acute malnutrition means they might die at any time. And we heard lots of stories, testimonies of women, mothers saying, I lost my child in silence, silently. So people come back now. And we need to help them. We need to scale up, not only us, UNICEF, but all the partners to be able to scale up our response.
Well, what's the sort of size we're talking about? What sort of money do we need to support that team?
So let's talk about Kasai, because as you know, there are lots of problems in different regions. But in Kasai, we have 3 regions. These violences 18 months ago started in Kasai Central. So we have we have offices in Kasai Central, in Eastern Kasai, also in Kasai, 3 main different provinces or districts. And what we need is $88 million. And we have been we got the funding, we received the money for approximately one-fourth, 25% of what we need. But what shocked me, just to come back to your first question, what shocked me is to go to health centers who are admitting children suffering from severe acute malnutrition. And in these health centers, sometimes, not in all of them, they are just running out of ready-to-use therapeutic food. They lack of amoxicillin. We know what to do in order to treat severely acutely malnourished children. You need to provide them with ready-to-use therapeutic food, deworming, amoxicillin. And this medicine have to be in sufficient quantity everywhere. That's not the case now. And that's extremely shocking because people are there. Again, we have our staff. We know what to do. We just need money to scale up our response. We can stop this from happening. And if we don't get if they don't get assistance in time, again, these violences will cause suffering on the much longer term to the population than if we act now.